You know what it's about time for? Don't press send. You guys brought to me, brought to my attention, brought to Lucas's and I attention. Good party people. Hello. Happy Thirsty Thursday. If you're just now joining us, the Jay Williams tweet has been found. Oh, dear God. We are going to have some fun with that momentarily. We have a great show the last 2 hours. Well, I guess it's, 2 hours remaining of the show. We're going to have some fun with as well. Mike Keith, voice of the Titans, will be here coming up next because he is being celebrated this weekend. Well, there's never a time where you shouldn't celebrate Mike Keith, but he is a part of the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame class of 2021. We're going to get into that with the GOAT, the voice of the Titans, coming up next. Where even to begin? Well, why don't we begin here since Corey has been waiting patiently, and if you want to get involved, 615-737-1045 is how you do it. 615-737-1045. Corey is in Hendersonville. He wants to chime in on what we were talking about last segment, which was the email I just got from a casting producer at The Bachelorette. Hello, Corey.
Hey, Buck. I just want to play devil's advocate for a second because that's what I like to do.
Sure.
If your girlfriends received the same said email and decided they wanted to get on the show,
yes,
and got casted to the show, and they were flirting around with this dude, how would y'all feel?
That's an excellent point by you, Corey. I think that, see, now this is dangerous territory because I've had a conversation with Dara like this, but I don't know if she wants me to say it on the air. So I don't, I'm going to tread lightly, Corey, but this is important perspective. This is what we lack. We have no female presence around here. We should really call Emily Proud or Madison Blevins or Kayla Anderson or Teresa Walker, any of our female friends, Diana Rossini, any of our female friends in sports more regularly, so we're just not a bunch of meatheads sitting around and talking sports from a male standpoint and just flooding the airwaves with our toxic masculinity. But this is an exceptional point brought up by Corey. So if you missed last segment, I got an email from a casting producer. Now, I'm not the only one because I've seen several people on my Instagram story today get the same email about casting for The Bachelorette for an upcoming season. And Lucas and I had joked about the idea that so it's either I accept the application to potentially be cast in The Bachelorette or I nominate somebody, which in this case I would nominate Lucas, but we're doing it for the social media clout because we're both very happy in our committed relationships. Now, Corey's point about turning it on its face and if our lovely significant others were to do the same on a season of The Bachelor, would we be comfortable with that? Lucas, I'm going to put you on the spot first because I'm still trying to process how I want to answer this. Because, again, I've had a conversation similar to this with Dara, and I want to tread lightly because this could have a ripple effect that I'm not crazy about.
If Megan got that email, I'd be like, yeah, just see what happens. Just out of pure curiosity.
Roll the dice.
Yeah, see what happens. See if they pick you. And then if she got picked, I don't know. I don't know if I'd be like, because she's in med school. She's, about to start her away rotations and go into residency next year. So yeah, she probably will be okay financially in the future, hopefully. So I don't know if I would say do it for the money. But I would encourage her to go for it just to see what happens.
All right. So I'm with you here's where we differ. I would absolutely say do it for the money. What's my cut? Yeah. What percentage do I get? Eldon English says Dara or a blue check mark? Oh, that's a tough one.
Time to play a game.
That is the most dangerous of games. My God, you want to talk about nuking my personal life? That is an ugly truth that I will not cop to on the live radio airwaves. Here's what I'll say, though, because here within the conversation or within this same vein of conversation, all right, I don't know if Megan experiences this and if there are any women in our audience, because I know our friend Diana Rossini of ESPN deals with this all the time, and she's got a much bigger social media following, so she's much more prone to internet grossness than I'm sure, and women in sports, it's a terrible, terrible, terrible situation for them on social media because of the foul things that people are comfortable saying to them on the internet. But so Dara, every once in a while, whether they're bots, whether they're real, she'll get one of these like DMs on Instagram about, you want to be my sugar baby for $1,000 bucks a month or something like that. Or will you send me foot pics for $1,000 a month.
Like, are they real or are they like bots?
I don't know.
Because I'll get DMs that are like, ever had a sugar mama? I'm like, this just can't be a real person.
Oh, look at you. I don't know. Don't sell yourself short. Hey, listen, you may not need this radio gig anymore. You go off and be somebody's sugar baby, Megan, respectfully. I think it is. That's true. But I would say that so she got a DM about a foot pic or something like that. It's like, send this guy a foot pic for some money, something like that. And she, you know, anytime your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend or whomever has one of these conversations with you, like, would you still love me if, right? Would you still love me if I had no arms?
Megan threw one of those at me literally like yesterday.
I'm telling you, I don't know
why.
Would
you still love me if I had an overbite or an underbite? One of the other is what she said.
Would you still love me if I had no teeth or something ridiculous, right? Like something where it's just such a... Anyway, and respectfully, if you had no arms or no teeth...
No, I probably wouldn't.
You're fully... Oh, gee, that's terrible. That's terrible by you. No, you say yes. Everybody love everybody. Anyway, so Dara did this to me. There is no teeth. Yeah, no teeth. You could get dentures, you jerk. Anyway, this is a great conversation to lead into Mike Keith. But Dara gets one of these foot pick DMs from, you know, some internet troll, real or imagined. And she said, you know, would you be okay with me sending somebody foot pics for money? Like, I'm trying to cash in. Maybe I'll even send them my sister's feet pics, so it's not even my feet. I'm just making money off of my sister's foot pics or something like that. And I said, yeah, absolutely. Just, you know, what is my percentage? Like, my agent gets 10% of my contract. What am I getting? What am I getting for my suffering?
Yeah, I would have no problems with that either.
Yeah. And she said 0% because they're not your feet and they're not your DMs. And independent woman, so on and so forth. So I'm out on the foot pic market. If such transactions were to take place. Would I do what?
Even so, even if you don't get a cut, like, yeah, girl.
Do your thing.
Get that bag.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't knock the hustle at all. And both of our significant others have, very, very bright. Well, Dara's already killing it in her career, and Megan will soon be out of med school, yeah?
Yeah, about a year.
Okay. So, yeah, we are now in the sugar baby situation. Things we love to see. 615-737-1045. That got off the rails. People are sending us a Salter ranked number 18 quarterback in the nation in the chats on YouTube. We're talking about foot picks. Unbelievable. What we're going to get into next, though, is I have a couple of questions for Mike Keith because, of course, the voice of the Titans will be one of six. No, I'm sorry. The class is much larger than six. Bill Bates, Kathy Bender, Mike Caldwell, Cindy Parlow-Crone, Todd Helton, Mary Lou Johns, Reggie Johnson, the aforementioned voice of the Titans, David Poyle, GM of the Predators, Brandon Roland, and Tommy Woods will all be inducted on Saturday into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, the class of 2021. So Mike's a part of this. All of the congratulations in the world to Mike Keith, but I have some questions for him about the significance of this, given that he is local, given that this is one of the jobs that he's had since the jump. He's been a part of Titans radio since the inception of the team here in Tennessee, but also because Mike did something really unique for the Titans YouTube page and for their social media channels. He got to watch practice, or at least a mini camp practice, standing next to John Robinson. I think that's a really unique angle to be able to talk about the building of a football team. Mike Keith, voice of the Titans, will join us coming up next, and we'll get into all of it. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. We are in the presence of greatness every time the voice of the Titans joins us here on 104.5 The Zone. Mike Keith, one big name on a list of many big names being inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, the class of 2021 this weekend. You can watch that special, by the way, on News Channel 5 Plus, June 26th at 7 p.m. Central Time or at tshf.net. Mike, what's going on, my brother?
How are you, Buck Rising? Good to be with you.
I am well. It's been some time since we've been able to catch up. How is life you're a Hall of Famer in our books, but you will officially be one on June the 26th. How is life as an almost Hall of Famer?
And I still had to take the garbage out this morning, still had to walk the dogs, still had to make the bed. It's pretty much the same, Buck.
Yeah. I want I can't imagine somebody telling Mike Keith to take out the garbage. Like, I just, it doesn't.
You haven't met my wife.
Yeah, I'm sure Mrs. Keith has something to say.
Straighten him up.
Mrs. Keith has a lot to say about a lot of stuff.
You love to see it. Mike, I want to talk a little football with you because it's been some time since we've caught up. But let's start with the ceremony that you're going to be hosting as well as being inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. Brad Willis was in here earlier talking about it. But there's so many cool stories among the names that you are going in with this year. And I don't want to take away from any of them by asking you, is there anyone Hall of Famer that's going in with you whose story, whose background, whose legacy in the state of Tennessee you find to be the most interesting, the most fascinating, the one who's had to overcome the most to be able to get to this point? You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to dismiss anybody in that group, but I want to know whom you find to be the most impressive of that group, I guess is how I should ask it.
Well, there are three. David Poile, obviously, because he's the winningest general manager in the history of hockey. I mean, stop and think about that.
Yeah.
That's an unbelievable statement. He lives right in our town, and I mean, that's fantastic. I think Cindy Parlow Cone, one of the greatest soccer players in the history of the United States of America. Boom. I mean, that's a fact.
Yeah.
I don't have to say, you know, arguably. No, she is. And then Brandon Rowland, who is one of the most remarkable human stories that I've ever heard, lost the lower part of his legs to an unbelievably sad condition when he was six. And so now he's known as one of the greatest wheelchair basketball players in our country, in our country's history. And he's also a top disabled golfer. And what he's done, I mean, if you look at his accolades, he might have more trophies than everybody else in this class combined.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So those are the stories that I value so much. And here's what's great. Somebody said to me something great this morning. They said, I don't know if this class has ever been matched in the time you've done this in terms of its overall resume. And I said, the great news about that is we say that every year.
Yeah,
we find these people every year and you're like, oh, my goodness, how did this, you know, Mary Lou Johns was somebody at Memphis State at the time who really got women's basketball going in that part of the state. And, you know, you think about Bill Bates and what he did for the Dallas Cowboys all those years. Everybody knew Bill Bates and Todd Helton, one of the best baseball players collegiately and in Major League Baseball over his period of time. The Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame finds those people every year. And the reason I'm so passionate about the hall, and I believe every school group that comes to Nashville who tours the Capitol should also have to tour the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame along with some other places. But I think these stories are so important because Buck Sports is the platform, but the human being stories and what they've meant to their communities, how they change society, you know, things of that sort are things that are not sports stories. They're human being stories. And athletics has been a major part of what we have been able to do culturally in this state as we've progressed over the last 200 plus years. Sports has done a lot to turn things towards good in so many different ways, along with the competition and the games and, you know, being physically fit and all of the good things that come with athletics, period. And I know this sounds corny, and I'm sorry, but I really believe that, you know, people who are involved in athletics find more things that take them through life and carry over way past the time they're on a ball field.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's not corny because it's true, Mike. I think the biggest, like, gripe that I have with people my age or Lucas's age to kind of lump us in the same generation is that we have no appreciation for history in sports or otherwise.
Speak for yourself.
I mean, listen, you know what I mean. Like, we have Google. We don't have to learn anything. We are so we are such products of recency bias that the last, you know, the last big event that we saw is it has to be the greatest of all time because of the way that social media has kind of changed the way that we consume all these things and how the internet has basically, you know, crippled us, for lack of a better term, as to how we learn our history, not just in sports, but societally as well. That's a bigger conversation.
Well, I'll tell you this. Google Brandon Rowland. Anybody listening to 104.5 The Zone right now, on your lunch break, Google Brandon Rowland from Jackson, Tennessee. And I promise you, you will be so inspired. You will spend the rest of your afternoon saying, man, that's a hero right there.
Yeah.
You know, Pat Summitt is a hero. Cindy Parlow Cone is a hero. Mary Lou Johns is a hero. Perry Wallace, you know, all of these people that we talk about in the sports hall. And it's not just football, basketball, baseball. You know, that's the thing. You think about the big three. I mean, the track history we have in this state, the soccer history that we have in this state, the golf history that we have in this state, the equestrian history that we have in this state. I mean, it's on and on and on. There's really something for everybody there. And that's why I've been involved with the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame for over 20 years, because I really believe all of that. I think it's a special, special place. And, you know, obviously, had we been able to have a dinner this year, I would not have hosted. But because we're doing a TV show and because Brad Willis is a really great broadcaster, you know, we figured out how to do my little part, you know, at the first and get it out of the way. And then we move on, because selfishly, I want to be able to tell these stories. I want to interview these people. You know, I want to spend time talking with them about their stories and where they came from and how they've gotten there. We have an impressive history in this state in athletics, from, you know, from Memphis to Mountain City and everywhere in between. It really is that big a deal. And you know what's really cool is it really is small towns and big cities and suburbs and farms and, you know, places that are unincorporated. We've had people come from everywhere. And I think the board does a great job of making sure that all sports and all regions of the state are well represented.
Zach Bunch on YouTube, we have the Zone TV chat going. He says, can't wait to see this man get inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. Well deserved, no doubt. Mike Keith,
thank you.
Voice of the Titans, here with us on 104.5 The Zone. If you haven't been to the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, by the way, you have to. It will give you such a sense of pride for all of the reasons that Mike just listed and why he is such an integral part of this, not just the production, but the hall itself. Whether you're a native Tennessean, whether you're a transplant like me that considers this place home after living here for a little while now, it will give you such a sense of pride in all of the accomplishments that so many people across the generations have been able to contribute to this state's history. Go ahead, Lucas.
Now, you've had a couple of inductions in the last year and a half. So which caught you off guard more? Bob Kesling coming out to let you know you're in the Tennessee Radio Hall of Fame, or Eddie George crashing a Zoom conversation you were having with Charles Davis about defensive backs to tell you you're in the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame?
Oh, this one, Lucas, the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, because this one is still very hard to process for me because I feel so strongly about it and have been involved with it for so long. And I never in my mind considered the possibility that that might happen. It still doesn't seem real because I don't know. I mean, it's just very hard to describe how shocked that I still am, you know, 3 months later. And we've shot the TV show. I know it really happened. I mean, spoiler alert.
It's already happened, yeah.
No going back.
Spoiler alert. We've already done it. We taped for 10 hours on a day in late May. I mean, it's a very long process. And my friend, Spencer Fritz and Brad Willis's friend is putting the show together. And he just does beautiful work. And I mean, it's a really hard production to do because you're trying to make sure that everybody gets included. And the best part of this, I don't think Brad will mind me saying, the best part of this is when the Nashville Six, who are receiving the Courage Award, came down And I mean, you think about how many lives they saved on Christmas with the bombing. I mean, it was just unbelievable what they did. I mean, you're sitting here going, man, these are heroes right here. And we got a chance to take them through the hall and show them a lot of the, you know, Brad's done a wonderful job really making sure everything works and changing displays and, you know, being able to see Derrick Henry stuff and being able to see a lot of the other bits and pieces, a lot of Peyton Manning and Pat Summitt. And I mean, just kind of on and on and on. Sarah Fuller's jersey's in there, you know, becoming the first female to score in a Division I football game. And, you know, things like that. And then, you know, Mike Kerb has a race car in there. And we got to take them through and show them all of that. And they were just so nice. And it was really what the whole thing is all about. They were honored to be there and they were thrilled that they were being recognized. But as they went through it, not all of them are originally from Tennessee either. They were like, wow, he's from Tennessee or she's from Tennessee or that happened here. They were amazed.
Mike Keith, voice of the Titans, here with us on 104.5 The Zone. We are talking about the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame Class of 2021 special presented by the Tennessee Titans. It's going to air this Saturday, June the 26th. You can get it on News Channel 5 Plus, or you can go to www.tshf.net and get it through their Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook pages. Mike Keith, one of many big names being inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame this weekend. Mike, just because I feel almost obligated because it's been so long since you and I talked football, you guys are doing so many creative things from a Titans media and a internal media and production standpoint. Something that I really enjoyed watching, and you can get it on the Titans YouTube page right now, is the mini camp practice that you watched with GM John Robinson. Now, how long did it take you to talk John into that? Because I can't imagine that was an easy sell. And what was that experience like for you?
Well, he had that, as I was explaining it to him, John gets this look on his face at times, and he sort of turns his head to the side.
I'm familiar.
His head to the side. Yeah, and that's when he's given you that sort of, now, what are you saying? Look on his face.
Yeah.
But he went for it immediately. He said, no, he said, I think that's interesting because we did it during an OTA where everybody wasn't present. Talking about media and other people, just a basic OTA practice. There's no pressure because you're not preparing for a game. And he's working. He's certainly taking it seriously, but there's just not the stress that there normally is around a training camp practice or even a mini camp practice, you know, where you're trying to get a lot more in. And so it was a great learning experience for me because where we stand, we get a good view, but we have the same viewpoint. I've had the same viewpoint for 23 years. And I wanted to know, even though I played high school football, I've never been on a professional football field in that way and watched from that perspective. I was interested in what he writes down. I was interested in how many different things he looks at the same time. I was interested in what he sees initially in practice that he's going to go back and watch on the tape. It was really something. And yeah, he gave me the business and, you know, he made sure that I was in my place and that's fine. But it was worth taking the usual John Robinson beatdown that I get to be able to be with him. And, you know, John was a coach. That's one thing. Not every GM is a former coach. Some of them have just come up through the personnel ranks. And so he still has some coach vantage point to what he does. But you know this too. People don't realize how smart he is. People don't 100% get what a brain John Robinson is. And to watch his sort of breakdown of all of it was really, it was a new experience. And I really learned a lot. I really did.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the most underrated part of this sport, Mike, and probably just sports in general, is it's by far and away our favorite television show to watch football. Mm-hmm. But there are so many people, and myself included, when we stand next to people, or when I get the opportunity to talk to Coach Mack once a week on the radio, or whenever, you know, John is chopping it up with the media before practice starts and he's a little looser than he might be once things actually get underway and they're pointing things out to you. How much just the general population doesn't understand what the hell it is exactly that we're watching?
I don't.
Yeah.
I go to practice to watch, you know, certain players, and I'm trying to get personnel groupings. You know, I'm trying to say, oh, look, it looks like Tier Tart's going to get to play more this week because he's involved with the first team in practice. So then I'll go back to my notes and prepare some more Tier Tart for that Sunday, right? That's what I'm doing. The X's and O's parts of it and the evaluation of personnel, that's something I don't know, Buck.
Right.
And it's not something that I have to know necessarily for Sunday to do my job. I try to leave that to Coach Mack, but I try to spend some time in April, May, June, July, and August learning some things I don't know for just basic context, you know, because I want to have an idea of, you know, it's like when we saw Tier Tart last year and we thought he was a guy who might come on and play, and then he played and did a nice job.
Yeah.
And now he's going to take a bigger role. What were they looking for in him initially and then last year that made them think he could develop into a potential starter? What was it about him? Those are the parts of it that I'm really, it sounds like you are too, I'm really fascinated by. Because, you know, learning that context and asking those questions, I've been really fortunate. I mean, in covering college in the NFL, I've had a chance to sit down with some great coaches and just say, hey, explain this to me. And them say, hey, you know, it benefits us if he knows what our mindset is, because then he understands some of why we do what we do. I'm not giving away secrets, and I could never coach, and I could never be a GM. But you're trying to learn that mindset. You're trying to say, why do they do what they do? It's interesting.
Without question. I think that's the best part of what it is that we get to do. You obviously have done it over the course of your career. Just to continue to learn stuff. It's what keeps, you know, what might seem like a same, you know, wide receiver individual ladder drill. It keeps you coming back because there's always different elements of it that you can learn something from that you didn't know the season previous or something like that. Mike Keith, voice of the Titans, gracious as always with his time. It's a pleasure to hang out with you for a little bit, brother. Congratulations again. The Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame Class of 2021 special, which Mike Keith will be hosting and will be getting inducted as a part of the class. It will be on Saturday, June 26, 7 p.m. Central Time. You can catch it here in Nashville on News Channel 5 Plus or on the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame's Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook pages. Mike, thanks so much.
Thank you. Just let me say, I know it sounds weird that I'm hosting this show. I get that. You know, I totally get that. I had to explain this to my mother the other night because she thought it sounded weird. but I promise you, when you watch, it won't be weird because Brad Willis does a great job as usual, and Spencer Fritz does a wonderful job putting this all together. You'll enjoy the TV show in spite of me.
No, we'll certainly be watching. Listen, this is why you're a Hall of Famer and I could never be, Mike, because if they said to me, hey, you're going to go in, but you're going to host as well, I would say, no, well, of course not. No way.
I offered to Brad. It was not Brad's idea. Had there been a dinner, I clearly would not have hosted.
Yeah.
But for what, how it sort of shook out in sort of our late COVID moment here, it seemed like the best thing to do, and I think it worked out okay. I think you'll be pleased.
He's the best in the business. I know we are going to, because I am familiar with this man's work, as are all of you listening at home or watching on Zone TV. Mike Keith, a pleasure as always. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, Buck. See you, Lucas.
All right, we will come back, and we'll get into something that's happening here in Nashville with a group of about 40 tight ends. They've taken over the city. And I think that's a pretty interesting thing and a good thing for Nashville. I'll tell you why coming up next. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. I want to talk about, I told you tight end you, but that we will postpone for just a minute because I forgot about Jay Williams' tweet. I have not yet had an opportunity to go at that. But if you're watching on Zone TV and you saw me kind of wipe something off my laptop bag and smell it, you're probably wondering what the hell is happening in here. I have a sunscreen, like a small bottle of sunscreen that I have attached to my laptop bag because I'm 100 years old and I put sunscreen on before I go to Titans practice. And if I don't keep it physically like latched onto my bag, like one of these little key holder things, I won't use it. And the sunscreen bottle has exploded on my laptop bag.
Oh no.
In the studio. I didn't know what the white substance on my bag was. And my immediate reaction was to like touch it with my finger and then smell it. So I deeply apologize to everybody who saw that because I forgot I was on camera.
Well, you can do one of two things to figure out what that is, right? You either smell it or taste it.
I mean, it's probably better that I like smelled it as opposed to tasting it.
Yeah.
Well, you're not
the former.
I was about to say, are you tasting it?
No.
That seems like
I'm just saying, you only have one of two options.
We talked about dangerous games earlier. That seems like the most dangerous of games. 615-737-1045. Speaking of dangerous propositions. Twitter. Jay Williams.
That's it.
Yeah, sure Twitter. Is. Sure is. Just generally as a principle. So Jay Williams, I think it was Zach on YouTube, asked me earlier, hey, can you speak on the Jay Williams tweet? I said, what has Jay Williams done on Twitter? I haven't had a chance to catch myself up. And it's because he deleted a tweet. So Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, the Adam Schefter of the NBA, tweeted out, what was this, yesterday, it looks like, about the Boston Celtics hiring their new coach, finalizing an agreement to hire Brooklyn Nets assistant. Oh, I'm going to butcher that name, Lucas. Do you know how to pronounce it? I don't want to do the man dirty and disrespect his name, but that scares me. Ime Udoka?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Okay. I just, you know, I don't want to butcher somebody's name. Anyway. So, Boston Celtics finalizing an agreement to hire Brooklyn Nets assistant Ime Udoka as the franchise's new coach, sources tell ESPN. So that's Woj's tweet. Then there's Jay Williams, who quote tweets it and says, the first head coach of color for the Celtics, with a fist emoji. And even more importantly, he is one talented individual who has paid his dues with a bunch of clapping hand emojis. Now, this would be worthy of celebration if Doc Rivers had not been a head coach of the Boston Celtics and, in fact, won championship with the Boston Celtics. They probably should have won more, but that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, 2008.
So Jay Williams just completely forgets about Doc Rivers, like, long tenure.
Who is still coaching in the conference finals.
Still coaching. Still around. He's in the Western Conference Finals right now. He just took an L to Lucas and I's Suns. Because this is a Phoenix Suns program. If it's not an Atlanta Hawks program. But we can talk about Trae Young later. So yes, Jay Williams. But here is the follow-up. Lucas, do you have Jay Williams' tweet? Because he deleted this tweet. Now, if he had just deleted the tweet and moved on with his day, I think most people would have understood that. Like, I have said stupid things on the internet before because I have not, you know, taken the time to make sure that I was correct in what I was saying or I had forgotten about something without fact checking it. It would have been fine if Jay Williams just deleted the tweet. But Jay Williams followed up his tweet with what?
After deleting it, he said, as it relates to the Boston Celtics tweet that came from my account a couple of hours ago, I did not post that, and my passcode has now been changed.
Jay, you did not get hacked. That is not what you're going to claim here. Man, you better stop. You got hacked by some dude who tweeted from your account, the first head coach of color for the Celtics, and even more importantly, he is one talented individual who has paid his dues. That is what the hacker chose to tweet from your account, Jay.
But it's a crafty way around that.
Oh, horse bleep. Are you kidding me? 615-737.
I respect the hustle.
1045. I don't respect that. Just let it alone. No, I would have no problem with him forgetting. I mean, yeah, it's not ideal if you're a national sports talk pundit, especially for as much work as Jay Williams does on the NBA, especially given the time that basically he runs parallel to a good deal of Doc Rivers' career. I'd have been fine if he'd have tweeted out and if he felt the need to say, yeah, I made a mistake. But to say that you got hacked with the friendliest hack of all time, there is 0% chance that Jay Williams got hacked. We put it to a poll on Twitter. Did Jay Williams get hacked? Yes or no? I almost said no or no, but this was a this was something that I just I had to give him the benefit of the doubt.
With that said, Michael's about to put us in our place.
Michael is about ooh, I love
because
that.
Because we cannot claim that we got hacked for things we say on the radio.
Fair enough. 615-737-1045. The phone lines are lighting up, which means I've done something wrong. Let's go to Michael in Goodlettsville, who wants to talk about the Doc Rivers tweet. Go ahead, Michael.
About Doc Rivers, like he's still the coach of the Clippers and in the conference finals when he's coaching the Sixers now and just lost in the semifinal round. Also, you're forgetting the three other Black Celtics head coaches, including Bill Russell in the 1960s. Y'all can't be making fun of Jay Williams right now. All right, I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate it.
Boom! Rack 'em! That was exceptional. I had no idea Bill Russell coached the Celtics. And then he did get bounced. We said that he was the coach of the Clippers. Ty Lue is the coach of the Clippers.
We got hacked.
We got hacked, yeah. Is that what people are calling about? 100%. That's what That's perfect. That's like when I think the caller's name was Bill when they were asking me, you know, what counties certain cities in Tennessee are in. And I had no idea what county Lebanon was in. And Bill just absolutely dunked on me. Michael, tremendous job out of you because we just completely glossed over that and did not recognize the mistake, the error that we had made on air. This is why we love you guys because you keep us in check. 615-737-1045. Josh is in Spring Hill. He wants to weigh in. Go ahead, Josh.
Actually, it's Todd, but that's okay. I believe Casey Jones was actually the first black coach for the Celtics, if I'm not mistaken, not Doc Rivers.
Well, I don't know that he was the first head coach of color. I'm just talking about Doc Rivers as a coach for the Celtics, an African-American coach of the Celtics. But I appreciate you bringing that up, Josh. I have no idea of the history and the lineage of African-American coaches in the Boston Celtics organization. I cop to that right now. I know Doc Rivers. 615-737-1045. You said that into the microphone, and I did not pick up on it at all.
Yeah, that's probably on me, but we both...
Have you just not watched the... Because I had a realization at some point.
I've been watching... Yeah, and he's right. Like, I was watching a lot of that Hawks-Sixers series. I probably paid attention more to that series than any other series because I was like, no way, Trae Young...
Well, yeah, because we were paying attention to Trae Young and, Trae Young and how bad the Sixers were choking.
And Doc Rivers was the coach of the Clippers at one point, so...
Yeah, I mean...
Had me bamboozled.
Before he was the coach of the 76ers. That was the big thing. Like him and, I'm blanking on the name of the former Houston Rockets GM, Daryl Morey. It was a big deal in the NBA offseason that the 76ers hired Doc Rivers to be their coach and Daryl Morey to be their GM after Daryl Morey said, yeah, Houston's a mess. I'm going to take a year off. No, wait. I'll come back and take care of things. ML Carr coached for the Celtics too, I think. Okay, well, this is good. Me and Lucas are getting a history lesson. So Jay Williams is...
He's like triple, quadruple wrong.
Let's immediately divert our mistakes back to Jay Williams. Not even Doc Rivers, just a million. There's quite a few African-American head coaches who have coached the Boston Celtics. And Jay Williams claiming that he got hacked. I wish we could say we got hacked. 615-737-1045. One more for Steve in Nashville wants to talk about Jay Williams. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, bud, what's going on?
Not much,
hey,
brother.
Your first caller was right. Bill Russell was actually their first coach, and he was actually a player coach. And then you had K.C. Jones and Doc Rivers. ML Carr, I'm not sure if he did. If he did, it was for a short period of time. But Lucas, like you, it was a good try.
OJ, 100%. Thank you for the call, Steve. This is the problem, though, because Lucas will do things and they'll immediately get attributed to me. Like you tagged Jay, you put up a poll from my Twitter account that said, "Did the real Jay?" You tagged Jay Williams. Did at real Jay Williams get hacked? Yes or no?
So I mean, I'm sure it will be a needle in the haystack of his mentions.
Yeah, no, my only redeeming, or your only redeeming argument in all of these things is that he's getting buried today. So he's not going to notice my tweet. But if I end up getting like in an argument with Jay Williams the same way that I did with Darius Leonard on the internet where I end up having to issue a public apology because you tweeted something from my account, I swear to God.
Oh, man.
We're going to have problems.
ML Carr did coach the Celtics from 95 to 97.
What told you that? Google?
Wikipedia.
Oh, this is this is what I was telling Mike Keith. People at Lucas and I's age, we don't have to learn anything. We could just find it on Google because we're idiots. 615-737-1045. Now we will talk about tight end you coming up next, as well as our buddy Ted Wynn from The Athletic. Exceptional football film analysis. That is what Ted specializes in. He wrote an article about your football team, about the Tennessee Titans, and about how Julio Jones is going to fit. All that and more coming up next. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone.